That's right. The Drive is live on a beautiful Monday, as you can see Clint. I ain't going to lie, man. You know, and Tyler's in the building as well on YouTube and Twitch. You can see him. I'm not going to lie. Clint's having a good hair day.
Oh, God. Oh, you like it.
I'm not going to lie.
To wear a hat.
You only wear a hat.
Let it go a little bit, man.
I don't know if it's a purpose thing. It seems like a parting of the seas a little bit.
You should be on Boy Meets World.
I've been trying to force it for a while, and it's the natural. That's the natural part right there.
You're having a good hair day.
Thank you, Bub. I appreciate it, man. I've been worried about it, man. That between stage is rough. Now I got to figure out what to do with the gray sideburn. You know what I mean?
I just let it go.
Well, I'm a tight fade guy. Yeah. I'll have to low fade it with this longer top. So I'd imagine there's something we can all settle on just gotta figure it out, man.
It's a good hair day.
Thank you, Rob.
Clint is rocking the 90s boy band haircut. Would you say that is the case, Tyler? There is no bigger expert in all of Houston of boy bands in the 90s and 2000s. Rather than Tyler Milner.
Yeah, you got a little of a JC Chavez look, a little bit of a Nick Carter look going for you.
JC, great dancer.
Yes, tremendous dancer with the moves.
You know, I'm not the
judge on America's
Best
Dancer.
It's got a little wave.
More Nick Carter than JC, I'd say.
It's a good look.
I appreciate it, man.
It's a really strong look.
I prefer, I could even go. I think Kelsey tried to grow his out a little bit.
Travis has done this.
Let's go with that instead of the boy band.
Travis Kelsey are bringing it back. Two of the 35 unicorns in this country. Once again, you don't know what a unicorn is. A unicorn is...
It's a horse with a horn, huh?
Or the white guy that has the ability to pull the white girl... who has primarily dated black guys. That's what the
whites used to do.
That is one of the most difficult things in the relationship thing to pull off. And two white unicorns, Clint Sterner.
I never heard it phrased like that until I met you, but that is a God's honest truth.
It is the hardest thing ever. Yeah, the black guy can pull the white girl. The white guy can pull the black girl. But the white guy... to pull the white girl who has only dated black
guys.
Yeah. That one's a difficult one.
Holy smokes.
Clint, Channing Tatum, Travis Kelce. May have lost a little bit of it, but Travis Kelce, I believe, still can.
Travis Kelce, he just decided to call a different play.
Went funning on it, didn't he? Bill Clinton in there. Yeah, I mean,
I did not have sex with that woman.
Bill can, man. I don't know what you... I don't care how old he is. He can't pull that. But no, good looking haircuts. By the way, it is Way Day. Clint is trying. Look, we are both trying to get under the obstacles. All right, Clint is trying to get under 240, weighed in at 240 last Monday. I'm trying to get into the 280s. I was at 292.2.
Yeah. I'll announce this too, Ron. I was without this last week as well. It's going on 2 weeks of no sauna, so it's been
no sauna.
This is straight up legit.
No extra here. Yeah, did take a dip into a little Baskin Robbins last night. They got
I thought about it.
They do have 32 delicious
flavors.
They
have this daiquiri ice flavor. It's almost
right up your alley,
like a sherbet or something.
God, yeah. That is made for you.
That's what you went with.
It's like a rum forward, but it's not alcoholic. It's like a rum forward.
It's cold and it's pink. Clint.
It's not pink. It's blue. It's not pink.
I bet it's bright blue though. I bet it wasn't dark blue.
It's lighter.
I bet it's closer to neon than this pastel.
I went in there. I said, man, that is delicious.
I almost got in my vehicle and went because I know if I tell my wife, hey, love,
yeah, there it's really like
it is super light.
It is a super light, lowest calories in the building. I did go through. Thank you for shout out to Baskin Robbins.
We can't count calories on the ice cream.
Yes, you can. The hell, you can. that Reese's peanut butter cup that was loaded, wasn't it? What I wanted to go is to get that in a mixture of the butter or pralines and. And cream or whatever, but that was gonna get you for about 500 to 600 calories right there. This one wasn't bad.
All right,
two, baby.
I like you. I like the airheads in the game.
One scoop.
I thought about it, man.
One scoop. went in there and knocked it down.
I had a delicious Reese's Cup shake from Five Guys Burgers and Fries the other day. My God.
I'd love to. I'll tell you what, my dad and my brother made the best chocolate malts of all time. I'd like to have one of those.
That sounds good.
And I would really like one of those. What is that, a little half pint? Or is it a pint of ice cream?
The smaller one?
Yeah.
I think it's half pint.
Jamocha almond fudge. I would last night I would have caved. But
you
I didn't
been in there? You didn't?
I did not.
Yeah, I drove up there.
Yeah, if I'd have had a real one,
8:07 p.m.
I would have had to go with the bluebell.
Oh, you if it was in that point.
Yeah.
I hear you. All right. Interesting weekend for the Astros. They do salvage yesterday's game and avoid getting swept, although Clint, it was looking 3-0 with that lineup that they rolled out there in the Hunter Brown start of going against their ace, Wu, who was in the All-Star game and pitched Sunday. It was looking dicey, Clint. It was looking dicey, but they were able to pull it off and then make it an ass whooping, 11-3, as the bats woke up after the sixth inning, and they avoid the sweep. But for you and the people out there, you can join 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch as well. How big was Sunday's game? And what you saw from this weekend,
Ron? It was huge, man. I mean, just look at. I mean, the Astros were on the verge of being 1-8 in their last 9 games, and swinging from a 7.5 game lead in the division to a 2 game lead in the division in a blink of an eye. And the shape
about
that
as fast as you did it to them last year.
There ain't no doubt. Great point, right? So the you're on the verge of that, man, and you are absolutely decimated with injuries, and this series did you no favors on the injury front. I mean, it just seems like you needed to stop the bleeding in some way, shape, or form. And as you mentioned, man, you're a good three-plus innings into that thing. Woo's on the bump. They got their all-star pitcher that appears to be dealing at the time.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the floodgates pop and some of the unexpected, let's put it that way, Astros get a few timely hits and this thing's busted wide open. So I just think big picture, it was absolutely huge for the Houston Astros to just hold on. And even if you bleed the lead, even if you end up letting others get in the race down the stretch.
Yeah,
here.
They pick up a game after that series. It's down to 4 now.
You just can't do it overnight. You just can't do it in one series, right? I mean, you got to at least give yourself a chance to get some arms back, give yourself a chance to get some bats back. And then if you squander it, or then if you don't end up winning it, okay, so be it. But you don't want those guys to come back and you're looking up at the Mariners. You don't want Yordan to be back and Eric Geddy to be back and got, you know, your squad to get whole, and all of a sudden you're looking up instead of having a lead in the division. So that I don't care how it went down, that win yesterday was a huge win for the Astros. And again, it came in unexpected fashion with some of the guys that led the way.
Tyler, I was nervous. I was nervous for the Astros right there. That down there, I mean.
Sitting in that pool mad at my kids.
Yes. That was. Because there was just so many decisions, so many ways that they approached things, the way they lost, you know, the game 2 of the series and everything. You're headed down, 2-4. Like I said, it was a good weekend for Seattle, and they stopped it from being a great weekend for Seattle. And it was touch and go a couple of times there, right? You got Cal Raleigh, who's an MVP candidate, kept coming up with runners on base. And Hunter, when he had to make some pitches, either didn't allow, you know, Cal to hurt him or was able to do some other things. But it was a rough go. And I'm going to tell you, Cam Smith and Christian Walker had 2 of the biggest hits that those guys have had in Astros uniforms. And for Cam Smith, that's of his career. Because the opposite field double that he hit, in which I felt like, you remember that scene from Major League where Willie Mays Hayes almost passed up
yes.
the base runner? I thought, was that Shea about to pass him up? Shea was, They show that. They showed them to round and third. I said, damn, Shane's going to pass him. And he was somehow able to avoid that tag to tie the game up. But two outs for him to go and get that big hit. And I love his thought process of, all right, Altuve's coming behind me. I'm going to get something to hit.
Yeah.
I'm going to get something to hit. And he drove one, that hit, and then Christian Walker going deep and hitting that that home run in the sixth to really, I believe, just give everybody a deep breath.
Yeah.
At that point, and then they blew it. They blew it or busted it wide open, as Tyler would like to say.
And told him to bring it back.
That's right. Hey, I'm going to tell you, man, the Cam Smith thing, and you described it beautifully, other than just, I got to add the detail. Going with that outside pitch, that right center field gap.
Yeah.
Damn, that turns me on. That big joker, he's got every right, other than being young, to get up there and be swinging out of his shoes and make rookie mistakes. But I mean, he goes up there and he drives the ball. There's nothing, in my opinion, there's nothing more beautiful in the game of baseball. Pitch on the outer half of the plate, and you drive that thing. Now, it could have gone on the fence. That would have been a little nicer. But driving a ball into the right center field gap is absolutely beautiful. So on top of it being such a clutch hit and so big in the game to get us tied up, I just love the way it looked.
Yeah.
I had to rewind and see it again, Ron.
Yeah, they won that game, and those were big moments. Mm-hmm. But, yo, fellas, this is three straight starts with Hunter Brown. And now this one, he didn't, you know, just kill you, not give you a chance to give up six like he did in his last start. But Joe did not treat him like an ace. And I honestly think he had to go that route, because it did feel like they might light him up for some more. But this one, man, what, he goes four innings? Goes four innings and gets up four earned in that. And this is coming off of three consecutive starts where he is above, three earned runs. But this is three consecutive starts where he did not look like an ace. He did not look like the Hunter Brown we've seen all year. And, all right, one is, all right, A is a bad start. Two is maybe, all right, now, man, you well rested. I mean, you got multiple days off. You hadn't pitched since last Sunday, and then you come back again this Sunday, and it's a huge, huge game. It's a gotta-have-it game. Need your big boy to bring you a start. And he struggled again, Clint. This is at least now something very real to watch.
Yeah, no, it's definitely very real. I mean, July has not been friendly to our guy Hunter Brown, and his ERA has jumped from 1.82 to 2.57. As you mentioned, the pitch count is through the roof early on. Now the strikeouts are, I think, the one positive here is he's still striking out guys at a high clip. But you know, not being able to run deeper in games and not being as reliable as he was in the first half. I'm not ready to panic yet, but I think three games in a row where there just seems to not be those ace type tendencies that you mentioned. You know, so much so that what did he throw 89 pitches yesterday? I mean, he could have got it. They could have sent him out for one more inning if the manager would have believed in it, and if he was ready.
He didn't.
But they didn't.
No, he
right.
Didn't.
He chose not to. So that
was
again,
probably the right move
to me. Yeah. Well, it turned out to be the right move. Yeah. I mean, hell, they
so I'm trying to do the best I can.
The bullpen
they held him there.
But the bullpen was absolutely taxed in a major way and needed Hunter Brown to make a run deep into a game, and he couldn't get it done. So three of the last four have been rough. The ERA's jumped. The Cy Young conversations are probably going to at least slow over the next handful of weeks. And, you know, we'll see if he can rebound. But, yeah, I think it's definitely a big enough sample size now to where it's worth keeping an eye on and damn sure not sweeping under the rug with Hunter Brown.
Text line coming through. Let's not get panicked over Hunter. The worst part of Hunter Brown's outing was the interview after the game when he said he had really good stuff. I'm not telling you to get panicked over. I would just say Hunter Brown's struggles. Hunter Brown and Framber are in a little different situation than maybe other staffs. Because right now, like, it's a killer when Hunter and Framber don't eat up innings, because you don't really know what you're going to get innings-wise from the rest of the guys. right? Like the day before, like Lance goes 2 2/3, right? Colton Gordon's going tonight. He could be liable to go 4 innings.
Yep.
Gusto, it could be liable.
Was overworked this weekend. Hell, yeah. he worked in a relief role 2 different times.
You right now gotta depend on those guys at the very least eating innings. Right, and not to mention, because you only have really 2 real dependable starters, and I will give you a credit, Ocho. I know you were talking about Walter Redhead, and he had a really good performance on Friday night. His team couldn't score many runs early for him, but still, that's still not depending on what you're going to get from those guys. You really need big starts from those two. All right, coming up, I've seen this this person talked about. On the text line here as we've started, what kind of position is Lance McCullers potentially putting Espada, Dana Brown, decision makers with the Astros as he struggles again the other night? We'll discuss that coming up.
Bury me in the H.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in. As I'm seeing here on the text line, here Clint a lot here. Lance is almost lost every time out. Lance is for sure washed. Somebody texted in.
Well, the sample size is getting bigger, and the outlook for him to be helpful in any way, I think, is diminishing. I think it's fair to say.
I feel like it really jumped up over the weekend.
For me with Lance, it's not necessarily the struggles, because we've talked about it. I mean, 900 plus days away from the game, what the hell do you expect? But if you can't throw strikes, we all know. Look, I mean, that gets stuck all in my crawl. But at the end of the day, if you're in the second inning and we're knocking on 50 pitches, yeah. I mean, you just can't help us. He's not a guy that can get away with not throwing strikes ultimately. And look, I'm not going to sit here and pretend. I know I read some of the stuff about, you know, the fastball's not there to make the off speed stuff, to counter the off speed stuff that he's usually so deadly with and all this. I don't know if that fastball not being there, if that is velocity, is that placement. I don't know what the answer is, but all I know is, Lance McCullers, if you can't throw strikes, you're going to have a hard time getting people to chase the big sweepers, getting people to chase your off-speed stuff. That is a big part of what you typically rely on. So I just, it's getting to a point with Lance where, you know, you spend so much time worrying about the pitch count and the inability to throw strikes that, regardless of the other stuff, you can't win versus good teams if that's the case.
He clearly is not pitching with confidence. I think that's the number one thing is you can kind of see it. Like this is the opposite of Hunter Brown. Hunter Brown is, I'm gonna put it like he may Hunter could probably stand a little bit more thinking through it. Because Hunter's not afraid. He will, I mean, 3-2, he'll throw a fastball right down the pipes and say, hit it. Lance's issue, and when you start to see him try to nibble, is because he is not at all confident in, I think, the stuff that he has that should be able to play. Like, you can watch Brandon Walter go in there, and he doesn't have the stuff that Lance has, but he's more confident to put it in there and trust what the natural movement on his pitches are going to do, trust his fielders. But Lance has lost all confidence right now, and it seems like it's in his head. Like, it seems like Lance is operating, all right, no big innings, minimize the damage. I'm not even going to throw anything that could be hit, you know, for homers or doubles, because I am just trying to, I'm just trying to get the edges and the corners. And he's completely lost to me the confidence you need to be able to pitch. Because at some point, man, yeah, you're going to throw strikes. You're going to throw balls in the strike zone. Your fastball is going to go in the strike zone. Like Hector Neris almost got out of that one inning late in the game. He's throwing 91 past people.
Yeah.
But throwing it in the zone. So it is a clear thing that Lance is lacking confidence, which I wouldn't say is a huge surprise when he hasn't really pitched as long as when it's been that long. And he hasn't been pitching in a lot of games. It's 11 starts now for him. I think now, though, it is a realistic question. I see a lot of people kind of talking and saying this, having this conversation. It's probably a realistic spot where we are where, all right, now how much longer are you going to run him out here? Are you going to have to make decisions? Because if he's going to pitch with this level of lack of confidence and throw and eat your bullpen up like he does because he's trying to be so fine with his pitches, then you're going to have to make a decision.
Well, I think you run Lance McCullers out there until the end of the season. I think you run him out there. The thing to me is I think he's putting him in a position where they've got to make a move at the deadline. I mean, you're going to continue to run Lance McCullers out there in hopes that he figures this thing out in the right time and he can definitely help you in some way, shape, or form if he does. But really, I mean, it's coming down to it, and you got to decide whether you're going to make a move or not for starting pitching. And right now, you've got a young, unproven Spencer Arrighetti that is promising, but you don't want to put all your eggs in that basket. You got a Hunter Brown that obviously is showing you how fragile it can be when he struggles through the last four outings. And you got Lance McCullers, who has given you no reason to believe that he's going to be a power pitcher, a guy that can pitch in the top three of a rotation come playoff time. He's given you no reason to believe that. So the thing is he's making the decision for the franchise really, really easy. Assuming they want to make, they're willing to make those moves, which they've been willing to make in the past. Assuming they're willing, he's made it a very clear, I'll say this, it's becoming more and more clear that's what they need to do.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is just two starts ago, the 4th of July, he's against the Dodgers, that lineup, and he goes 6 innings, 4 hits, 1 earned run, and the 1 run was a home run. Again, in that one, he doesn't trust him. He doesn't trust his fastball because he's got 4 walks in that game to 4 strikeouts. And then the last two games, you know, you can't live with 2 2/3 in 3 innings. You can't live with that from your starting pitcher. Now we're talking Zach Greinke 2021 territory in the playoffs. We're like, hey, man, just get us through 3 and maybe Javier or somebody can come in, but no, it's that right there. I do think you're going to have to make a decision if he's going to continue to be afraid to use his fastball. Like if he's going to continue to run up in there and, hey man, hey, we're just exiting the second inning and Lance has pitched 2 innings and he's up to 41 pitches. Like if that's going to be continue to be the thing, I do think you're going to have to potentially look at other spots. But yeah, Lance is struggling, and it does feel like it's starting to get a little bit more louder, the noise is around him from people. People talking about it feels like it's going to be a loss. I don't know if I'm there yet, but it ain't great. You can tell early.
Well, maybe my expectations weren't fair to begin with, but I think most Astros fans are Lance McCullers fans, and you know the hope is that he comes back and can start and really be a third starter on this team and help us make another run. But the reality of it is that the way it's looking right now, it looks like that may be a long shot. Can he still help the team in some form or fashion? Yeah, I'm sure he can. But I mean, it's the bigger the sample size, the less likely it looks like it is.
Yep. All right, we're 2 days away from camp. 2 days away from the guys are going to report tomorrow, but 2 days away from seeing them on the field, which we will be out there in Sports Radio 610. We'll be covering this like nobody else. We'll be live out there doing shows and covering practice and bringing everything we see back to you. But coming up in a couple of days, we're going to get to see all these guys on the field, including – Oddly enough, we talk a lot about the offense and the guys they've added. Well, they've made some moves over on this defensive side as well. And the conversation piece there is, let's take a look at these additions on the defensive side of the ball and who we should be looking at. New guys they've added in free agency or in the draft. We'll discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, coming up, the weigh-in. Weigh-in coming up at 3 o'clock. How you feel about it? Trying to get under? You think you see the two threes?
I don't know if I can get into the 230s. I feel really good about the low 240s. I don't know about the 230s.
You ain't got nowhere to go but down. But 230s if you lose.
I don't know if I can lose. I don't know, man. That 240 was surprising to me last week. That was a big number.
Oh, yeah, you didn't see that.
That was a big number. I mean, I thought I could beat my record, my 243, but I didn't think I could beat it by 3 pounds.
240 going to Nashville and
yeah. I've been on it though. I've been running and sweating. I got 30 minutes.
You get one in today?
I got 30 minutes in this morning.
That's
30 actually plus 30 plus minutes.
I got it in. Tyler, you have this. You don't feel good, do you? Hold on. Do you think
I don't feel great?
Do you? So listen,
I could probably get to feeling good.
Clint is trying to get into the 230s. 240 got it last week, and I'm trying to get to the 280s. Just 2-8 something. Now, I know I told you about that Baskin-Robbins.
Made a trip to those 32 wonderful flavors. Makes me a bit nervous.
It was.
But you were counting those calories, which makes me feel better.
I was eyeing it. Didn't have a lot, like, you know, to throw me off the scent this weekend. Like, you know, people offering me brisket nachos.
Yeah, sorry about that.
And telling me to just go for it, man. Why not have a good time?
Follow your heart. But be ready Monday.
I tell you, you give me an inch, Clint, I'm going to take it.
Ain't no doubt. I'm with you. That's our problem. That's why we're having to fight the fight.
Hold on, though.
I didn't need much to go get that
You got a daiquiri? Did you get a daiquiri too?
No, I'm talking about the margarita. The big margarita at the Astros game. Damn, I didn't take it. I didn't need, just needed Clint or Tyler to just say, Tyler, when Tyler said, man, dude, just go enjoy yourself, man. I bolted out of that chair up there, bro.
Old King Ding-a-ling in there.
I did walk the long way to get more steps in to go get it.
See, you're thinking.
But I was halfway. I mean, I was a kid in a candy store when I got that big thing, the big one. It has a little baseball at the bottom of it. Mm-hmm. Walked it around. I drank the hell out of that thing.
Looked so refreshing.
Oh, it was. God, it was.
One of them drinks where you take the first drink and you go.
Yeah. That's what it is. I want to take the first drink and just say, can you top me off just a little bit more? Real quick, just a little bit more. But weigh in coming up. I was at 292.2 last week. Clint was at 240. We're trying to get to 230s, in the 230s, in the 280s.
Trying to brew up a good bowel movement at the moment, boys, see if I can't drop
you
one.
That was what you did prior to getting on the scale.
Last second dumper.
Yes.
It's key, man.
Yeah,
so we'll see. Move.
We'll see. Coming up at 3 o'clock, we'll do that. All right. By the way, news here. If you are just joining and listening to us, the Texans finally heading into camp, which is in a couple of days. Actually, they report tomorrow, but they have agreed to terms with their second round offensive tackle Arianti Urseri. Per league sources, deal is for $9.2 million, their second-round pick, who they moved up to get. So, Clint, that is taken care of. There's no worry about any guys, any of your draft picks, your high draft picks, unsigned. He will be there, ready to go. All the business stuff is taken care of with him, Higgins, and company like that. So that is out of the way. They did get that done before camp started.
Yeah, good deal. I mean, now is he a backup? Is he a swing tackle? Is he really going to push for a starting position? We'll see. It's just good to hear that the young fella is going to be in camp.
Yeah, he's in camp. So that is the latest there. But other guys we expect to be in camp. We've been talking about things that are on our minds leading up to it, Clint. And 2 days. Camp starts. We've looked at the offensive lot because I think where a lot of the questions are, and we probably feel that's where this team will go the furthest depending on how much growth they have on that side of the ball. But on the defense side of the ball, they didn't just sit back and just say, let's completely run it back, Clint. They've made some additions in the draft and, more importantly, in free agency. They've made some additions to different groups, from the safety group to the linebacking core to the D-line core. 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. I see you out there, Rob, Brandon, Kick Rocks, the whole crew out there. Sally, I know, is coming in soon. Champ, I'll see you in there. But what are the defensive additions that you're going to be keeping an eye on throughout camp?
Well, I think there's a handful of them, Ron, that move the needle. I think C.J. Gardner-Johnson coming over from Philly after winning a Super Bowl. And look, he's had a lot of success in his career. He has been a player that jumps off the field, whether you're watching the film or you're listening to the press conferences. He's got a little knack about him, about being a guy that can push buttons and even play on the edge a little bit and get away with it and it be a positive. And so, you know, how he I think fits in here, which I think he'll fit in fine, but where and how he fits in, I think the Jimmy Ward off the field issues have made it probably cleared the path a little bit for it to be a little more obvious than maybe it was before. But the way he fits in, the way he impacts this defense is going to be big. And then I think just as fans watching C.J. Gardner-Johnson, again, you're going to see him, you're going to hear from him, and he's going to entertain you. And so I think the list has to start with C.J. Gardner-Johnson. It quickly moves to E.J. Speed at the linebacker level. One, because fans should be familiar with him from his Indianapolis Colts days. Two, I think he is a more of a speed linebacker, which I think those guys are your better linebackers in today's game. And it was a desperate need for the Texans last year. We saw in critical situations late in the season where the linebacker position was targeted by Travis Kelce, obviously, and Pat Mahomes there in the middle of the field. It became an issue. Also, the Christian Harris situation of not really knowing what the hell's going on with him. The EJ Speed sign is something to keep an eye on for many reasons. I think C.J. Gardner-Johnson, EJ Speed, those are your top two. They're in that top tier of new Texans on the defensive side of the football to watch.
Do you also look at those guys as being guys that potentially will have the biggest impact?
No question about it. No question about it. For the reasons that I mentioned, you know, it's C.J. Gardner-Johnson was going to be an impact player anyway. He's always got a nose for the ball. He's always around the ball. He's loud. He is an impact player. He's a definition of an impact player. And then you lose a guy like Jimmy Ward or whatever's going on with Jimmy Ward. I haven't seen the most recent off the field stuff with Jimmy Ward. Now the importance of him being that starter, that difference maker, that play in, play out leader is even magnified times 10. And then EJ Speed, like you said, whether you look at the Christian Harris situation or you look at, you know, the true middle linebackers in this league on this team, not, you know, their issue being in the coverage department, EJ Speed at the very least brings answers to the Christian Harris situation and what kind of got exposed last year in the playoffs. So both of those at that linebacker position are your two biggest, I think, pressure points, if you will. I think EJ Speed, you know, addresses both of those. Damn sure one of them, if not both of them.
Yeah. I think those are the guys, the biggest names that we're looking at. I would throw out Sheldon Rankins because
okay.
I think those, when you look at linebacking core, that's probably one of the places where I think teams may try to target, and you can see the addition of EJ Speed. Safeties, I think, are pretty strong there, especially with C.J. Gardner-Johnson you just talked about. I still think the other part is interior D-line. And Sheldon Rankins has had some injuries. He left. They wanted to bring him back last year. He left for the better deal with the Bengals last year, but they bring him back. And he was a guy that was able to get pressure from the interior in his year with the Texans a couple of years ago. He knows the defense. He's played under Matt Burke and played under D'Amico Ryans. And it's just a position to me that can still stand for, or I guess it's just not as settled, right? You don't have a Will Anderson or a Danielle Hunter right there. You know, that's going to be a rotational group of guys, and you hope he is one of the guys, and particularly when it comes to rushing a passer from the inside, that maybe you could see where it's him and Denico Autry on third downs, or you could see where whoever it is. But his ability to get after the quarterback, I think there's another one there, because you could still, I think there's still an argument people would point to that the interior D-line is probably the issue.
Yeah.
If there is one.
You're just leaning into some of the same guys that you leaned into last year. Some of them that exceeded expectations, some of them that met expectations. I think the big thing there is that none of them, with the exception of the guys that missed for the wrong reasons, and maybe some injuries here or there, I don't think anybody disappointed at that interior defensive line. You add Sheldon Rankins to the mix, and I think you've definitely gotten better there. You still have the same issue if you're just talking about D-line and kind of where it falls in terms of strengths and weaknesses. I do think it's the weakest part of the defense. And with that said, I still expect the guy, the Mario Edwards Juniors, the Tim Settles, the Foley Fatakassis, as you mentioned, the Sheldon Rankins. I expect those guys as a unit to not be an issue or a weak spot on his defense.
Yeah. Yeah, I just remember this is a guy a couple of years ago who got 3 sacks in one game against Burrow from the inside. And could be, because that just it, right now they have decided, and it worked last year, and it can work again this year. They're going to go more rotation and throw kind of numbers with Foley and Edwards Jr. and now Rankins and the other guys they have there up front, as opposed to going to get the for a draft and the big guy.
A couple other guys, one that I think is just fascinates me, maybe it's selfish reasons, but the Damon Arnett is fascinating. The player that obviously was once regarded to be one of the best in the damn all of college football, and was a very, very gifted player. Ran into some trouble, is trying to make a comeback here. The Texans end up signing him. What does he look like? Is this a legit guy that could threaten to be the third cover corner on this team? Is this a guy that can compete with Jalen Smith, the third-round rookie out of USC? Is he really a guy that can do that, or is this year's project that from jump you realize you see he ain't ready for the NFL level? So I think those two, that Jalen Smith, the third-round draft pick, as well as Damon Arnett, the reclamation product, if you will, or a project, I'm sorry, if you will, those two are two guys to watch that are new as well.
Yeah, someone texted in about Christian Harris. Does he count?
Well, I mean, hell,
played
I guess.
Last year, guys.
Come on. Well, I'm always interested in Christian Harris. Call him new or not, I'm damn sure interested. If you got insight, let me know.
He played last year. All right, coming up, we weigh in, and I'll let you know if I did get that 2-pack snack wrap from McDonald's. I did drive through that. I drove through. I ordered it. I'll let you know if I ate it. But no, we'll weigh in coming up, trying to get to 280s. Clint trying to get under 240s. And a Houston player, a Houston athlete who continues to get disrespected. We'll discuss that coming up next.